I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
The lights and the harbor.
The Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
There's been a lot of talk lately about gun bans, naturally, in the wake of what happened in Connecticut last week. And like every other American, my heart goes out to the families who have had to experience this tragedy so close to Christmas. And I'm not one of those people who admonishes any American for bringing up the issue of gun bans and the Second Amendment in the wake of a tragedy like this. I think it's natural and normal. And I think it is an opportunity to discuss this issue openly. I wanted to have my two cents as someone who was formerly anti-gun and formerly anti-Second Amendment. Yes, not anymore, but I used to be. And one of the things I used to say, and I hear a lot of people saying about modern weaponry is, look, you don't need an assault rifle or a machine gun to take down a bear or a lion or whatever you're taking down in modern America. And that's true, but it's also a mistake to believe that the Second Amendment was made for hunters. It has nothing to do with hunting at all, and this was one of the things that surprised me when I started researching the Second Amendment. It has absolutely nothing to do with hunting. It has to do with freedom and what the ability to brandish a weapon means to your freedom, because your freedom needs to be protected. And how do you protect freedom? Well, let's just think about the last group of people in this country who are forbidden from owning guns. That would be black people. Why? Because we were slaves. And what would happen if you gave a slave a gun? Well, they would no longer be a slave. Right? Because a gun is one of the most powerful weapons in any revolution. Our founding fathers knew that, and that's why they enshrined it in our Constitution. They were revolutionaries. And they wanted the people to have the freedom to rise up against any oppressive government, just like they did with theirs. It's what keeps a society free, because when a government knows that its citizens can rise up against it, well, they're a little less inclined to enslave its population. It's why every dictator in modern history has begun with a gun ban in their country under the auspices of protection and safety. But what it did was disarm the citizenry. Do we have a government that we need to revolt against right now, physically speaking? Well, no. But that doesn't mean we never will. That doesn't mean some of us won't ever be enslaved again. I hear Democrats talk all the time about specific conservatives or Republicans. If they get into office, they'll send us back to Jim Crow. They want to put you all back in chains. Well, if you don't want that to happen, then don't support a gun ban. You can ban guns, but you can never ban evil. The best we can do is to tell our children, I will do everything in my power to protect you from evil, even if it means blowing its head off when it walks through the door.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are, Wednesday night, 25th of June, 6 months to the day, thereabouts, till Christmas Day. I think I want my money back for this year, because I am definitely not getting my money's worth here. This is absolutely fascinating how fast this year is going by. But anyway, let me check here and see. It looks like we have a couple of issues. Let me see. Let me check the sound here. Alright, never mind. It looks like everything's okay. Let me know if y'all are not getting the sound here, and I'll check it out. I think everything's okay. Let me check and see who we have. Someone called Ash in the chat room. Ash, I don't know who you are, or where you came from, or why you're here, but I'm glad you dropped in. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 anonymous in there, and we're glad all you guys showed up too. Hopefully you'll find this amusing or beneficial or useful in some way and come back. Every Monday through Wednesday, for those of you that don't know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is all pretty much political, militia, throw in a little gun-related stuff here and there. Kind of depends. We just kind of follow the wind as it blows here. Thursday night is always all gun-related stuff, unless something vital has come up, some liberty-related issue that we need to talk about in the news. But for the most part, it's all gun-related. Friday night's all usually classic country music. We did do a classic rock white run night that was very popular, but for the most part, it's classic. So that's what we do 5 nights a week here from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time here on the Shooting Bench. And so I'll give you an idea what you're looking at there. All right, let's get moving here. We've got a lot of ground to cover, a lot of gun-related stuff tonight. We've got, well, just because I want it to be. You know, Arizona has its has good gun laws, has good laws, period, as far as laws go. If you have to have laws, well, Arizona's got about as good as any of them. But we still have our share of dirt bags. And there's a dirt bag over around Prescott. Now, he's in jail right now for felony animal abuse. 27 years old. And you can look at this guy's picture. I'm going to see if I can get this in the chat room for you. I'm going to look at this picture and tell me that the first thing, the first image that comes to your mind is a skinhead, you know, the epitome of a racist. Just, I mean, that's stereotyping. Yeah, I can stereotype if I want to. I'm a big boy. I make up my own mind and decide what I want to do. And right now, I want to stereotype. And if you look at this guy, I'm gonna put his picture in the chat room there, and check that out, and see what happens, or see what it looks like to you. Picture's not showing up on my end. Hopefully it is for you. But let me get back to the dirt bag here. This dirt bag is, like I said, 27 years old. And this was a couple of weeks ago. He got in a fight with his girlfriend. He's driving down the road. And he just took an 8-month-old... Oh, no, let's see. Don't say how old the puppy is. There was an 8-month-old baby in the car with him. But he just threw a puppy out the window. A little bitty puppy, cuter than hell. A little bitty puppy, threw him out the window. Said the puppy suffered significant neurological issues, but he is going to survive. Now, what his quality of life and everything, I don't have any idea what that's going to be. But I'm going to put this, picture of this puppy in the chat room here for you. And, yeah, it looks like someone made a bad decision. Damn sure did make a bad decision. Look at that puppy. Now, it's going 50 miles an hour down the highway and threw that puppy out the window with that little 8-month-old baby in the car with him. Well, this was over around Prescott, Arizona. And, apparently somebody got a license plate or something, I'm not sure, but anyway, he was arrested Monday by the sheriff's department over there, spotted him in the back of a truck at a convenience store over in Cottonwood in the parking lot, and as soon as the truck started moving, he ducked down and tried to hide, but it was too late. The sheriff was paying attention, aware of his surroundings. Already caught. He was handcuffed and booked in there on 2 counts of felony cruelty to animals and possession of dangerous drugs and paraphernalia. They found meth and all the associated goodies that go along with it. Puppy was treated in the local clinic there, an emergency clinic, but they don't know how bad he's going to be screwed up. I don't know, they may wind up even euthanizing him. I don't know how bad it is, but he wouldn't say where the baby was. They eventually found the baby at a babysitter there, and CPS took him into protective custody. The guy is still in custody, $17,500 bond. And I think once they have a trial and determine that he is in fact guilty, I think what they ought to do is throw his ass out the window going 50 miles an hour down the highway. That's what I think. And if he has significant neurological damage on account of it, well, you know, that's one of those things. Payback is a problem for some folks. Well, let me check my incoming news here and see if this is... no, that's nothing. That can wait. All right. You know, before we get into the... Well, since we're on the subject of dog cruelty here, Minnie posted something in there a while ago. We talked about this here a while back. I think this is the same dog anyway. This guy had a 2-year-old Weimaraner, shot last week in Salt Lake City. The owner of the dog wants the officer fired, of course, for shooting. This is a 110-pound dog. That's a damn big Weimaraner, boy. I've never seen one that big. Anyway, apparently, I haven't read the whole story because she just posted it, so I'm reading it along with you. Anyway, he wants the police officer to shot his dog dead. And apparently, this guy shot him right entered the backyard during the search for this 3-year-old boy. And according to the... Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of this and the legalities of this, but I've heard that if you put certain types of signs, no trespassing signs, I don't know if they have to be worded properly or what, it should be common sense. A cop should not be able to enter your backyard without a warrant. That's still your problem. I understand the not coming in the house, but what about the yard? Now, I don't know if the same Fourth Amendment protections apply to your yard or not. But if it was up to me, it would. But this just happened a week or so ago. The boy that was missing, was not missing, they found him at home asleep a half hour after this. And they said the dog was coming at him in an aggressive manner. And the officer shot the dog. Well, if the officer hadn't been in the yard to start with, he wouldn't have had to shoot the dog. If you want to look for a baby in there, well, then why don't you go to the front door and knock. And say, hey, we're looking for a baby. You want to help us out? Yep, no baby here. Okay, I won't even shoot your dog. I'll just go on to the next house. 10-year veteran of the force, been placed on leave, but the shooting's under investigation. The guy, the owner of the dog, says, I understand the concern for a missing child, but that doesn't negate my rights as a property owner. That's kind of like the, who was it, Joe the plumber the other day said, I'm sorry, but your dead kids don't trump my rights, when he was talking about a school shooting. And he's right. That sounds very, very unsympathetic there, but it's true. This guy said this, it doesn't replace my dog. It doesn't justify what the officer chose to do, and that was to use lethal force on my animal. The guy wasn't home at the time, but the dog was in the backyard. It said, let's see, everybody's outside the backyard. It said it was where he has a kennel. He wasn't in the kennel. Other than the fact that the officer was on my property uninvited, the dog was doing nothing but what a dog should do. You buy a dog to help protect your property, and that's exactly what he was doing. And apparently the community there was pretty upset about this whole thing. And there's been 14,000 likes on a Facebook page called Justice for Geist, G-E-I-S-T. If you guys want to go check that out and give it a like. And about the same number of people have signed a petition meant for the Salt Lake PD demanding that the officer be held accountable for using excessive force. Well, what's going to happen here, probably, what usually happens, we talk about this every day, they're going to look and say, well, the dog was coming at the officer, and he had to protect himself, and he was completely justified in what he did, blah, blah, blah. Same old story. We hear it over and over and over. Now, this hasn't happened yet, but I'm thinking that it probably might. The guy said, the only thing that I would be satisfied with is having this officer terminated. I feel that his judgment was completely inappropriate. It wasn't just the judgment in shooting the dog. It was the judgment of entering the yard to start with. They're looking for a kid. What gives him the right to just arbitrarily walk in the yard? Now, if I have a security fence up around my yard, my wife's out sunbathing in the backyard, getting a little tan on everything, then I don't think a cop ought to be walking in there. There's quite a bit of controversy going on right now over Indiana's law that says, Manny, the officer probably could have just turned around and left. More than likely, I wasn't there. I don't know why I don't know exactly the circumstances, but you would think that he could have just turned around and left. Anyway. I know, Hopper, but I meant everything from the knees down and the shoulders up, actually. Alright. Yeah, Minnie, you know, not to diminish what you said there, but there's a dog shot under similar circumstances every freaking week out there, just about. It happens over and over and over and over and over. I'm just sick of it. I can't stand it. But, anyway. All right, well, let me check here. I keep getting all kinds of stuff coming in. Okay. You know, I told you guys, you wasn't there. Well, a lot of you weren't there Friday night, last Friday. And I, quite frankly, I forgot. I was going to play you a song that may be one of my new favorite songs. And you guys, I'm going to play that song because I want to. And when this first starts, you're going to say, what in the world? That boy has lost his mind. You have got to be kidding me. Well, let me you guys decide.
Jay, it ain't country if you don't come from Nashville. Better hit up LA and get yourself a good rap deal. Spit with the best, just don't get your cap peeled. But I'm from the Wild West with real women and fast steel. It's in my veins, I'ma stick to my guns. Man, I live this all day, lyrics hot as the sun. And I ain't playing music, but it ain't gonna work though. Nobody wants to hear about them woods and them dirt roads.
Some of them dirt roads wind down the mountain and roll out over the plain. Let me tell you, cowgirl, you ain't seen nothing till you've seen the Montana rain. Big sky, way back, 30-06 on the gun rack. Yeah, standing knee deep in a trash stream. Lord have mercy, that ain't country. Lord have mercy, that ain't country.
I told y'all you'd be surprised, but I think I have a, I think I might have a new favorite song. I like that. I like that song pretty much. Now, it's not ever going to take the place of Jim Reeves and Patsy Cline and Hawkshaw Hawkins and Cowboy Copas and all of them, but for modern stuff, I think it's pretty awesome. And, what do you mean you don't know if I care? Of course I care.
I don't know if you want to talk about it. It happened in January.
Okay, well, I'll read this during the break. It looks like Amy has brought some new. I told you Arizona had its share of dirt balls, even though we have good laws and good weather and good gun laws and a whole bunch of good stuff. We have a dirt ball story here after the break. I'll share that with you. Looks like Castle has joined us. I'm glad to see you in here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 7 or 8 anonymous in there now. Yeah, Pumpkin Cat, it could be a little more country, but anyway, I like it. And you'll probably be hearing more of it. All right, let me get on to my other page. Here we go. All right, lots of new stuff here. Oh, by the way, remember the... I had cowboys in there, too. Remember the story we talked about a couple of different times about the little girl that was mauled by the pit bulls and Kentucky Fried Chicken had apparently asked her to leave because she was upsetting the other customers and stuff. And that just, when I thought about that, it absolutely outraged me like you wouldn't believe. And I was a little reluctant to believe it right at first, but then, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken accepted stepped up to the plate and accepted the blame and give the girl $30,000, and this doctor flew out there. Well, it turns out that the whole damn thing was a hoax. According to the most recent news here, it looks like the whole thing was made up. And that they have collected well over, it seemed like it was $115,000 or something like that. Now, granted, it may be to use to help the girl, you know, get her life back. But nevertheless, it was done in a manner that was inappropriate and dishonest. And it's too bad. It's too damn bad for a couple of reasons. I mean, it's going to be great for the little girl, I'm sure. I'm sure nobody's going to ask for their money back. I don't know if the plastic surgeon that flew out there is going to renege on his deal. I don't know what's happening there. But the other thing that's bad about this is it's the whole cried wolf thing, you know. Now then when there really is a little girl that has a problem and there really is a soldier out there that has refused service for one reason or another or something like that, people are going to be reluctant to help or to believe it. And this crying wolf has happened several times. We've had, I don't know, half a dozen stories over the years where people have preyed on people's compassion and sympathy, and then to find out that it was all BS, and I hate that. It really, really ticks me off. But it's I think it's another one of the many signs of the times here where people are. They're finding new ways to make money, new ways to take advantage of people, and the whole thing just sucks. I don't like it a bit. So, with all that being said, I think we need to take a break, and we'll be back here. Hang on here just a minute. I think we ought to stick one more deal in here. I'm missing an ad. Oh well, we'll go with what we got. We'll be back in a minute.
Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah.
What answer is that, Haji?
Back stands in the corner where the barrels are straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie. Draws the beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right. We're back. Let's get started here. Let me check my chat room here real quick and see what's going on in there. Looks like you guys are all playing nice, and Minnie's getting a lot of stuff up there for you to check on. Let's see. T-Dog, you know, since you bring that up, we have no border. Yeah, we have no border on the south. The Patriots down there are trying to change that. But there's a video out there right now, and it's kind of disturbing, that hang on a minute, what's going on here? There's been an attack on Border Patrol. just in the last day or two here. That has, let me see if I can find it here. It's not just your average riot. They said that this has never happened before. It's well organized. As a matter of fact, they've really studied the video of this, and they found one guy. Couldn't tell for sure. It looked like he may have been a white guy. That was well dressed, suit pants and a nice shirt and everything off to the side, and he kind of, there's every reason to believe that he may have had something to do with organizing this thing or financing it or whatever, and it shows him in the video kind of obscurely there just turning and walking off out of the middle of all these people and walking up and away from all this, like he, it looks like he started this all and then walked away from it. But this was a very, very well organized deal. Having never happened before, they're concerned that, if they would have pushed this any harder, this may have been an experiment, it may have been a trial to see how the Border Patrol was going to respond. But I think this whole border thing is going to come unplugged here pretty shortly with all the militia that's down there right now. And this was in a area down south of San Ysidro in California that, believe it or not, has no protection at the border. Now, I've always wondered why, if they're going to gripe about this border thing all the time, why don't they get up there and this border fence has been a problem, an issue for years, and it just befuddles the heck out of me why they allow this to continue on in the manner they do, knowing these people just walk back and forth there whenever they want to. And I'm still, I'm not very popular when I say this, but I am still of the mindset here that when we're trying to protect our country and they're not playing fair, then we shoot them. You don't ask them nice to leave. You don't just keep picking them up and taking them back, time after time after time on the taxpayer's dime. Hey, I made a rhyme. How about that? No, you don't just pick them up and fly them back or take them to the border or take them to another state or do whatever over and 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 over. At some point, when you have foreign nationals coming into our country, any country, and all efforts to stop that have failed, then you shoot them. And old people don't like to hear that, but you have to protect your country with whatever force is necessary to stop that. And so, quite obviously, if they wanted to stop this, they could. What they're getting over here is a hassle of Democratic voters. Tons of them. Hundreds of thousands. And it breaks my heart. It infuriates me. And I'm not at all inclined to to tinker. I've thought about landmines before, and I'm not entirely opposed to it. But I've said this many, many times, and probably will do it, say it many, many times again. But if we would fly up and down the border, we'd get on all the border radio stations down there, all the Spanish speaking radio stations, and fly up and down the border with leaflets in three languages, maybe four, saying that, on such and such a date, like tomorrow, the border is going to be closed, and anyone that crosses the border will be looked at as an attacker, as an invader, as an invasion, and you'll be met with gunfire. I know that there's a whole lot of people that don't believe in that. We've become so compassionate and kind and all that crap that it's ruining our country. And it would Hopper, you're probably right. Word would spread pretty quick if you just started shooting them. Yeah, but I'd give them fair warning. I'd drop the flyers down there and say, you know, starting daylight in the morning or whatever time, that you will be met with lethal force when you try to cross our border. We're not going to continue to pick you up and take you home. What's going to happen is we're going to pick you up, we're going to try you, and you're going to go to prison. And you're going to work. This sitting around letting the taxpayers pay for this just to be sitting in prison, that ain't cutting it. I think we need to go back to chain gangs and road crews and whatnot and get them out there. At the very least, do like they do in Huntsville, Texas. And they have this huge, huge farm out there. And the prisoners work it. You can drive down the highway, down Interstate 45. Maybe it's not on 45. I don't remember where it's at. But anyway, you drive down the highway, and you see officers out there on horses watching everybody, and everybody's pulling weeds and trimming plants and watering stuff and doing whatever it is that needs to be done in the garden, and they feed themselves. And they also sell some of that produce to help cover the cost of that, and I think that is that's the way it should be. They don't just sit in there and go to law school and get free medical and free every damn thing else and work out all the time and get all this education and just sit there and go to bed and do it again the next day. I think you get them out there and work the hell out of them. I mean, you don't just send them out there just to break rocks unnecessarily. If the taxpayers are going to be paying for this, then they need to go out and do something useful. And I think farming would be something very useful. That would help to support them, to feed them, and sell the produce to help to support and whatever other support that they need. If they need to get laborers out on a road crew, they need to get laborers out on a fence crew. Get them damn people down there and get them to building the fence. All right, you're going to cross over on this side. All right, you've been tried. You've been found guilty. Now get your work clothes on, get your gloves. You're going to start building the fence because we don't want your compadres coming over here with you, looking for you. So we'll just have them build the fence with free labor. And I'm okay with that. The other option is take you out behind the barn and shoot you, I guess. So you got. We'll give them a choice. But anyway, you know, it does make sense to farm them. Hopper says they've had a prison dairy farm in Darlington. There's nothing. I think that's great. I think that's perfect. Pumpkin Cat says it puts piranhas in the Rio Grande. There you go. I don't know if Rio Grande deep enough in most places to support a piranha. Yeah, they quit calling them wetbacks and started calling them rockhoppers there after a while because there's not enough water. They really, really have to swim in most places. So. Okay, let's get off of that. But anyway, pay attention to what's going on down on the border. And militia has been activated. Lots of militia down on the border right now. It's a shame that we have so many conflicts down there, so many disagreements and everything within the militia. And I think that I don't know how this is going to turn out when the hopefully with this from Bundy Ranch and the border issues and all this, I hope that some of the kinks will be worked out of this chain of command thing, and people will look and see, okay, the only way we're going to make this work is for all of us to get along and realize that all of us can't be the general of the militia. We're not all going to be General Washington. Some of us have to be Colonel somebody and Captain something other and Private Joe Snuffy. But our goals and the end result should be, our end goal should be close enough to the same that we can all work together. And until that happens, I'm afraid that it's going to be very detrimental to security and to, you know, continuity altogether in the militia. So we'll wait and see what happens here. Private Infidel reporting for duty. All right, there you go. He's looking at you know, and who cares? You know, you're not getting paid. If you're put into a position where you are in charge of a few people, a squad leader or something, and you get a certain amount of, you know, recognition and rank for that, then that's fine, but you're not getting paid. Doesn't matter. Sergeant doesn't make any more than a private, who doesn't make any more than a colonel. Doesn't make any difference. Just get the damn job done and quit crying and whining about it. Jeez. Grow up already. Man. I mean, Supreme Commandant General Cowboy. There you go. It's, you know, and I don't care. Anonymous, Infidel, that's right. As long as you trust the chain of command. And that's the way, thankfully, that's the way most of our people are, is that, you know, they're not there for glory, they're not there for rank, they're not there for anything. They're there to help protect their state, their country, their rights, their communities. And I wish that the feds, the state and local government and county government would look at the militia as what it is instead of what they keep trying to make it. And I think that they could find that there is one hell of a lot of free help out there in the form of crowd control, traffic control, search and rescue help, and just a whole lot of things out there that the militia could do if they just let them and just recognize them as being patriots and friends and members of the community, and let them do that, assign them tasks. I understand, regardless of how well-trained some of us are and regardless of some of us' attitude, I understand the liabilities involved with, you know, search and rescue and stuff like that. So, fine. You don't want us to go help? That's okay. How about if we, you know, take care of parking, or why don't we bring water cans and water to different rendezvous points so the search and rescue people can stay hydrated. Who cares what we do as long as we're helping? Doesn't matter. Yeah, I know. There are some exceedingly well-trained people in the militia. Lots of them. Lots of them are prior military. Lots of them prior law enforcement. Lots of them were Boy Scouts. I mean, there's just lots of training. Lots of knowledge and skill in these different militia groups. And it's a shame to waste it. It's a damn shame that they're afraid that I don't know what they're afraid of. I don't know why they're afraid. But anyway. All right. Well, let's get off of that already. It's already ticking me off, so I'm about to move on to something more exciting here. Let me look and see here what is going on. All right. Got one news story here. Let's see. Oh, by the way, Amy, I didn't read that during the break a while ago, but Amy brought me something. I told you there was lots of dirt balls in Arizona. We have our fair share of them. A teacher, this was down in Phoenix, and this story is going to tick you off, I'm sorry. A teacher at an Arizona prison, I can't even hardly read this. This is fascinating. It's fascinating that somebody could be so stupid and so irresponsible and incompetent as to let this happen. Teacher in an Arizona prison left alone in a room full of sex offenders before being stabbed and sexually assaulted by a convicted rapist. This is according to some documents that the AP got a hold of. And said this happened on January 30th. It's just come out in the most recent newspaper here, but evidently it's been tied up in litigation or whatever for some time. But this was the Meadows Unit, Arizona State Prison Complex, which houses about 1,300 rapists, child molesters, and other sex offenders. The teacher was administering a high school equivalency test to about a half dozen inmates in a classroom with no guard nearby and only a radio to summon help. You know, the woman kind of dumb, too, as far as that goes. There's no way she should have allowed herself to be in that predicament. But, of course, she may have got fired for making her mind to get out of there, but that's... You know, that's which would you rather have? Department of Corrections issued a bare bones press release after the attack, but the AP pieced it together. And what happened, based on, let's see, after the last of the inmates left, Jacob Harvey asked the teacher if she could open the bathroom and then attacked her. Harvey's accused of stabbing her in the head with a pin, forcing her to the ground, and raping her. Teacher told the investigator she screamed for help, but none came. After Harvey tried to use her radio to call for help, Harvey Harvey asked the teacher, okay. After Harvey tried to use her radio for help, that doesn't make any sense. After Harvey tried to use her radio to call for help, it had apparently been changed to a channel the guards didn't use, so Harvey let the woman use the phone, according to the reports. That's weird. Anyhow, this is quite a lengthy story. This thing has... Let me shorten this story up here right now. There's 1,300 rapists, child molesters, and other sex offenders in there. Okay. Well, providing that they are serving a sentence and have been proved beyond a reasonable doubt that they are guilty, then you take the teachers and the guards and the non-inmates out of there and just nuke it. I don't think that there is enough rehabilitation possibility there, that especially when you look at the 1,300 child molesters and other sex offenders. I don't know. The more I ponder on this, the more I think that should be any of those crimes, that rape, especially aggravated rape, and anything done to a child like that, I am okay with the death penalty. I am not okay with having 1,300 child molesters and rapists all together in one place, and here this poor teacher gets out there and gets raped. So, you know, T-Dog, that's just what I got through saying a while ago. Why don't we put these people to work? So, T-Dog says Fukushima needs workers over there. Why don't we send them over there? You know, I'd be afraid, though, that they'd get that get radiated over there and transform into... Of course, I guess we'd need to sterilize them before they go. They'd probably be sterilized pretty quick while he's working over there anyway. But anyway, I don't like it. I don't like the whole thing. It ticks me off. So, the Hopper, what are you talking about? Now we have two shoot orders. Not sure what you're talking about there. Enlighten us with your wisdom. All right, I got to change pages here again. It's damn much stuff piled up here. It's unbelievable. Let me get rid of some of them here. There we go. All right, let's see. Why is this doing this? Okay, here we go. Hang on. All right, there's a guy in California. He's named Tim Draper. Talked about this on Amy's show a little bit this morning. We're going to talk about it just a little bit more. And, okay, Hopper, I got you now. Republic Defender joined us out of the great state of Texas. Glad you could make it in here for a little while. Well, I got to tell you about Tim Draper. Needing 800,000 signatures here. And I'm going to tell you why he needs those signatures right after this next break here. So you guys hang in there with me for a little bit. And we'll be back.
That's what I... James is darn good, but he's better, and I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis, freedom and freedom, so let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world? Professor, that's my answer.
You're saying...
Yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you, nonetheless, are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. (Clears throat) We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDCPASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high-capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
80 men tried and 80 men died. Now they're buried together on the countryside. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 or more. The bloody red baron has rolled up a storm. 80 men died trying to end that spree of the bloody red baron of Germany.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
Sorry. Fresh banana bread right out of the oven took precedence over the show for a minute and made me a little bit late, but that was good. Hang on a second. Yep, I think that's next break may be the same way. I may spend the whole thing up there eating banana bread right out of the oven. All right, let's go on here. Let's just take these in no particular order. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. There's a sheriff in Pennsylvania that Matter of fact, let me move one of these others over here, right in line with this one, because they're similar. All right, the sheriff in Pennsylvania is being sued because he refuses to release the list of carry permit holders. We're finding more and more and more sheriffs that are finally figuring out. A lot of these sheriffs, I don't think, ever really knew what their how much power they have and what their responsibility, what their authority is. And thanks to Sheriff Mack and some other programs here, I think some of these sheriffs are finding out that they have pretty much the key to their county's freedom, their liberty, their rights in their pocket. That they are the ones that are there to protect them against protect their citizens against the feds. Or against the state, as far as that goes. And a lot of people disagree with that. They think that the county sheriff is the low dog on the totem pole, and just because the Fed is a Fed, just because a state cop is a state cop, that they automatically outrank the county sheriff, so to speak. So I thought, you know what? 007, yeah, I did have some trail mix before I came in here earlier, but the banana bread was one of those things, just couldn't wait. So let me give you a couple of quotes here. The law in question here, like I said, the sheriff is being sued over his stance by the county auditors, who say they need the information in order to verify revenues and money spent on the licensing process. But the sheriff says he feels he's completely within the law to disallow them access to that information. Now, why do they need names and stuff? All they got to do is say, okay, there's been 6,482 permits so far this year, and they were $60 a piece. So it's 6,482 times 60. That's how much money we made. Okay, let's move on to the next subject. Why do they need names and addresses and all this stuff? All they need is numbers. It's like the, what do you call it? The, the cotton picking. Shoot, I can't think of it now. What's the deal where they come along and count everybody? Census, there you go. The census. All they need really is numbers. How many men? How many women? In having males and females over a certain age in here, and I understand that, and I'm okay with that. I am not okay with having to tell them how far I drive to work, how many bathrooms are in my house, and all that kind of stuff, which they started doing in 1998. No, it wasn't either. I think it was 2000. I think it was the 2000 census that they started doing that. But at any rate, whenever they started doing it, doesn't matter. The law in question here says, and this is right out of the law book here, it says confidentiality. All information provided by the potential purchaser, transferee, or applicant, including but not limited to the potential purchaser, transferee, or applicant's name or identity furnished by a potential purchaser or transferee under this section or any applicant for a license to carry a firearm as provided in this section shall be confidential and not subject to public disclosure. In addition to any other sanction or penalty imposed by this chapter, any person, licensed dealer, state, or local governmental agency or department that violates this subsection shall be liable in civil damages in the amount of $1,000 per occurrence or three times the actual damages incurred as a result of the violation, whichever is greater, as well as reasonable attorney fees. So the auditors say that providing the information to them is not the same as making the information public. Sheriff seems to be enjoying support from the community. According to the local TV station, he said, if I were to have one, or that's not what the sheriff said. The lady there said, if I were to have one, I wouldn't want nobody releasing my information. It's my information. It's private, so nobody should have it. Another person in the same town said, what's their reasoning for wanting the records? What gain do they get from them? We're already on record that we have them. It's just confidential. Another one said, it's cross-hairing they need. I have a carry permit myself, and it's something that doesn't need to be public at all. There's no reason for it. There's no gain at all. The attorney for the auditors claimed none of the information would be made public, but the sheriff is holding strong in his stance. Looks like this will have to be settled in court. So, I think that's awesome, to tell you the truth. I think this sheriff is doing a fine job, and I hope that the locals there will support him, and that he is successful in doing what he's supposed to be doing there. So let me put this other deal in here, because we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now here's another one kind of along those same lines. It has to do with sheriffs anyway. The governor here of Colorado, Hickenlooper, yeah, Hickenlooper, as he was apologizing to the sheriffs here a couple of weeks ago, saying that, I should have included, we should have talked about this before I did that. And now he's just all over the place. He don't have any idea what the hell he's talking about, man. But he said he apologized for signing the deal into law, admitted he didn't have all the facts, and now after coming under fire from the Democrats, Chicken Pooper's backpedaling again on that statement. According to the television station there, he says in his first interview on the subject, Chicken Pooper told Fox 31 in Denver that he wasn't aware he was being filmed last Friday during a meeting with the sheriffs in Aspen, when he appeared to backpedal on the magazine ban, agreeing with one sheriff that it was unenforceable and telling the group that he didn't expect the legislation to even make it to his desk. The remarks, he said Friday, were an effort to apologize to the sheriff, who felt their voices weren't being heard during last year's legislative process, not a disavowal of the magazine ban itself. I didn't say it was unenforceable, I said it was difficult to enforce. A lot of laws are difficult to enforce. That doesn't mean they shouldn't be there. If we went through the process again, I'd sign it again. So let's go back up here and look at what Chicken Pooper said. He said, let's see, in his first interview, said he wasn't aware that he was being filmed last Friday during his meeting with the sheriffs. And my question to you is, why does it matter? Why would it matter if he knew he was being filmed or not? Now, it may just be me. Maybe I'm crazy here or something. But if you are in public office, actually, it doesn't even have to be public. If you're in any type of position of responsibility or leadership, don't you think that it would be prudent for you to not say stupid stuff when you think the cameras are off, only to find out that the cameras weren't, and you have to backpedal somehow and come up with some kind of an excuse for what you said? T-Dog, that's a damn good point. What we need to do is write to that sheriff in Pennsylvania and tell him, hey, all you got to do, tell him your computer crashed, lost all the emails, lost all that information, it's all gone. Sorry, we didn't have it all backed up. That's all it takes. Anyhow, back to what Chicken Pooper said here. It's going to be interesting to see what the people of Colorado do at this next election. You know, as I said, Denver and Aurora and maybe to a lesser degree Pueblo, rule that state. Just like Phoenix rules Arizona for the most part. Albuquerque is pretty much responsible for whatever law passes in New Mexico, and so on and so forth long down the line. Every state has their strongholds of luckily in Arizona, Phoenix is quite a bit different than Denver and Aurora. We still have a conservative majority of people down there, voters, where Denver, not so much. In Denver, you have quite a stronghold of liberals there in Denver and Aurora. It's awful, to tell you the truth. But I don't know if there's the way the voting deal works there in Colorado. It'll be interesting to see if they're able to, or if they want to. If they want to get rid of Governor Chicken Pooper, and he's just like Charles Schumer, he's just like Feinstein or Pelosi or Reid or any of the rest of them there. He can't be trusted. He's a low-life, bottom-feeding, scum-sucking snake, and he needs to be unseated. He needs to be gotten out of there. So, well, while we're on the subject of guns, let's look here real quickly about we've had the topic come up more than once when we were talking about anti-gun celebrities. Well, how many times over the years we've talked about this? It seems like the anti-gun people always happen to come up, and we don't hear much about the pro-gun ones. So we're going to go down through here and look at some of the pro-gun people, pro-gun celebrities. And this one kind of surprised. I didn't know this. I don't follow celebrities. I don't look. I don't have any of them. I don't read, Hollywood magazine or whatever the hell it is, and try to find out about these people. So I had no idea. I would not have thought this had I not seen this article. I would go on ignorant for the rest of my life, not knowing that Brad Pitt was pro-gun. He said in an interview with a British magazine here, right after the Colorado movie shooting there, the Batman show or whatever it was, he said, "I absolutely don't believe you can put sanctions or shackles on what is made, nor do I want to pretend the world is different than what we witnessed that night. America is a country founded on guns. It's in our DNA. It's very strange, but I feel better having a gun. I really do. I don't feel safe. I don't feel the house is completely safe if I don't have one hidden somewhere. That's my thinking, right or wrong." Now, what he did, how awesome would this be to have the ability to do this? He built a $400,000 shooting range as a wedding gift to his fiancée Angelina Jolie. That would be the second celebrity here, avid shooter. I guess she's got to be if she wants to Brad Pitt to feel justified in building a $400,000 range. She has several times talked about her support for the Second Amendment. She said, "I bought original, real guns of the type we used in Tomb Raider for security. Brad and I are not against having a gun in the house, and we do have one. And yes, I'd be able to use it if I had to. If someone comes into my house and tries to hurt my kids, I have no problem shooting them." Now, I don't know who this guy is. Chef Alton Brown. I'm not sure who Alton Brown is. But he shows a picture of him standing out here on a range with an AR-15 tricked out with all the little goodies on it. Don't have a clever little story to go with it. Joe Perry, for those of you that keep up with some of the rock and roll stuff, Joe Perry is with Aerosmith. He said, "I've always been fascinated with guns. I grew up in America. So granted, it is part of our heritage, and it is written into the laws of how this country is run. I've been fascinated with all kinds of weapons my whole life. And as I've been able to afford to acquire pieces here and there, I started to collect." Miranda Lambert. This one doesn't surprise me. Country girl. She said, I carry a weapon. I got a death threat a few years ago and was really scared, but I don't want bodyguards. I am my own security. I remember talking about this on the show here a year or so ago. But here's another one that surprises me. This, Firewall just jumped in there. Firewall, the gang's all here. Mouse, looks like she was able to get her name back. Firewall, Cowboy, Castle. Let's see who else we got before we get back in here. We've got a pretty good crowd in there tonight. Still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Anonymous, and quite a few other. All right, let's move on with this here. Republic Defender, why would we laugh as you walked in Rockford Files? That was a good show. I like some of those old shows. I like them a lot. So, Not Too Late's lurking in there. Good to see you guys. All right, let's get back. Let me find my deal here. Johnny Depp, really? That surprises me. He says he recalls all kinds of memories about shooting when he was a kid and plans to teach his children to shoot. He said, we would just go out and line up a bunch of cans and shoot with rifles, handguns, and at times submachine guns. When I was a kid, it was a controlled atmosphere. We weren't shooting at humans. We were shooting at cans and bottles, mostly. I will most certainly take my kids out for target practice. Clint Eastwood, I think that one goes without saying. He says, I have a very strict gun control policy. If there's a gun around, I want to be in control of it. And we've heard about Clint Eastwood numerous times in his support of the NRA and other pro-gun organizations. James Earl Jones, I would have never thunk it. He said, the world is filled with violence because criminals carry guns. We decent law-abiding citizens should also have guns. Otherwise, they will win and the decent people will lose. And he's also a member of the NRA. Bruce Willis, no surprise there. Everyone has a right to bear arms. If you take guns away from legal gun owners, then only the people who have guns are the bad guys. Even a pacifist, he insists, would get violent if someone were trying to kill him. You would fight for your life. You would use a rock or tear one of these chairs out of the floor. Ice-T. It's mildly surprising. He's a rapper and the actor. Ice-T is in... what do you see him in? He's in Miami Vice, I think it is. Quite regularly. He's not only a supporter of the right to bear arms, but he seems that he understands it from a historical standpoint better than a lot of them. He said the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny, not to hunt. Ted Nugent, I don't need to go there. We are pretty sure about that. Tom Selleck, we all know that. Chuck Norris, another one that is everyone I'm sure knows. Eric Clapton, you've got to be kidding me, really. According to an interview with The Sun in 2008, Clapton took up shooting in 2003 and has built up quite the collection of firearms, including many high-end shotguns. He said, I like a gun to look like a working tool, but it's a magnificent piece of art as well. He liquidated some of his collection in 2008. It is following the same pattern as when I collected guitars. I get obsessed, then engulfed, and finally narrow the collection down. Gary Sinise, he's the guy that played Lieutenant Dan in that damn movie. What it was? I can't think of it. Anyway, he said he makes the point that it's a Second Amendment right, and that bad guys aren't going to turn their weapons in, so good people need to be able to protect themselves. Joe Mantegna, I think is how you say that, in Criminal Minds. I can't say if I'm surprised or not. I don't know of him that well. I've watched the show quite often. But Forrest Gump was what I was trying to think of a while ago. But says he's been an outspoken supporter of gun rights, giving interviews and hosting pro-gun shows as well. He says he's an avid skeet shooter and competition shooter. And been interviewed by the American Rifleman. He said, I guess we'd have to break it down into categories. For a handgun? No question. It would be the M1911. Well, I'm going to quit watching Criminal Minds now. That wasn't the very first handgun I shot, but it was the one I ultimately used competitively. I just enjoy the caliber. I've shot pretty much every handgun caliber you can think of, and the .45 ACP is perfect. It has the mass, the recoil is a little more. You get a lot of push, but you don't get a lot of torque, and it's just the aesthetics of it. It's old school. It's what I carry on Criminal Minds. I made that choice as I thought this guy would be old school and that this would be the firearm he would carry. The M1911 is classic. I think it's the first one we're doing in our series, Gun Stories. Adam Baldwin. Wow. Says he's no relation to the anti-gun Baldwin brothers. It wasn't just Baldwin's iconic character, Jane on Firefly and Serenity, who liked guns. In real life, Baldwin himself is also an avid gun collector and Second Amendment supporter. Says he used his Twitter fan base of over 100,000 followers to promote pro-gun articles and ideas. He wrote an article, an editorial on Breitbart in the wake of the Sandy Hook shooting. So there you go. There's some of you know. Now I can throw a couple in later, a couple of additional ones, and that would be the Mandrell sisters. You remember Barbara Mandrell and I can't remember the other two's name, but they were country singers. Still are. They're getting a little older. They don't do it as much, but you still hear quite a bit about them. Quite a few of the country singers, to no great surprise, are gun owners and shooters. But I think the movie people, that's the one that surprises me. There was a couple on there. I would have never believed in a million years that Eric Clapton and who was the other one there that surprised me so much? Let me go down through here. Brad Pitt. Eric Clapton, the guy with Aerosmith, Johnny Depp. Those are the ones that surprised me the most. Well, there you have it now, the list of the people that you need to try to support, and you can assume that at least some of the ones that were not mentioned, maybe we shouldn't support. We'll have to look and see what some of the other ones stand. There are a lot of very rabidly anti-gun idiots in... maybe it's a little strong word, but I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't want them around me. I just got a problem with them. So, there you have it. All right. Well, we're going to, let me get a couple of things in here, and we're going to go out here, take a little break, and come back here and finish this up.
I'll be back.
I am here in protest with the college students from Georgia State and Georgia Tech.
Protesting what now?
Well, they're protesting against equality and change, you know. We don't like the way the government is allowing us to be able to, you know, utilize our various, degrees and, you know, our job market into the, you know, society without it having to be uproared by the, you know, fear of what the government is constantly putting on us. Everywhere I go traveling throughout the train system and the rail system, you have homeland security everywhere. So, you know, how can I very well concentrate on, you know, getting a job and getting through school without having to, how can I stay focused without having to worry about, you know, whether or not I'll make it home safe, or, you know, this fear factor that the government has going on with us thinking that something bad is going to happen with our serenity and our peace and our homeland security will become insecure. And it bothers me for these school-age kids to be going through what they're going through. I don't think it's fair at all.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
He cuts both ways.
I stab people.
I know I'd be there or there yet if I hadn't used the knife.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
And the cutting was done. The only part that wasn't good, it was the soles of the big man's feet. And he was cutting about 100 places.
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
The first cut is the deepest. Baby, I know the first cut is the deepest.
Oh, I have all my fingers. The knife goes chop, chop, chop. If I miss the spaces in between, my fingers will come off. And if I hit my fingers, blood will soon come out. But all the same, I play this game, cause that's what it's all about.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Hurricanes. Tornadoes. Western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Chat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The Medi-Chat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills that is waiting for me
there. Okay. We're back. I told you a little earlier that Tim Draper is trying to get together some of his, he's a capitalist in California. He's getting a bunch of his folks together, trying to get 800,000 signatures to divide California up into six states. Now, at first thought there, wow, that would be, one's bad enough. But to have six of them. And I got to think about it. Amy talked about this on her show this morning a little bit. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. I think it's a damn fine idea. I think six is too many. I'm thinking three. But it's unreasonable to me to have a state that huge that is stretched out over such a long area. And when you have people in San Diego or up at Mount Shasta or, up above that, up in, where is it, up where the Thule elk are, up in that part of the country, when they have to go, for whatever reason, have to go to the state capital for something, they've got a fur piece to drive. That's maybe a very small and insignificant reason for that, but that's one of several. There's 38 million people, 38 million freaking Californians in that state. And everything from Sacramento up is practically another state anyway. The people are different. The country is different. I mean, the topography and the environment, the climate and everything. Awesome place to live up north of Sacramento. So I know that there would be some problems with this. Now, the way that they're trying to divide this up is they're looking at more of a, I think, strictly based on population. When you look at the map that they wanted this split up into here, and lost my cotton picking map. Hold on here a minute. Hang on, it'll be back here in a minute. But they had an area that they called Northern California, an area that they called Southern California, an area that they called Eastern California, an area that they called Central California, an area that they called Western, Eastern, Central, North, South. What was the other one? California is number one in population and number three in area. Third to Texas and Alaska, I guess. So they're spending, this guy is spending $2 million of his own money to make this happen. And he's trying to get, can't figure out why my picture here is so fuzzy, I can't read it there. There we go. Now, Silicon Valley was going to be the other one. We got Jefferson, the state of Jefferson, I was wrong, the state of Jefferson, the state of North California, the state of Central California, the state of Silicon Valley, the state of South California, and West California. I don't know my geography well enough to know where all the towns are here, but where exactly this is. But anyway. I think it would be a good idea for them to divide that up, at least cut it in half. I think six is too many. You got six little bitty states there, but at least cut it in half. Three would probably be good. I think Sacramento up would be one, and to allow everyone to have to retain their seaports the way it is right now. Central California would have no access to a seaport without going through one of the other states. But in order for them to keep their seaports, if it were up to me, I would go Sacramento up and make that one state. And then Central California, cut that off somewhere is around, San Jose and somewhere straight across there. And then get down into San Diego and down there. So I think three states would be fine with that. But there's... Mouse says there's so many people who couldn't move. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you managed to leave there, and that's good. She, Mouse escaped. She was in, I think, in the San Diego area, and they were able to escape. And Firewall has a damn good idea right there. They would lose that electoral monopoly, and that's awesome. Yes, that would be. I hadn't thought about that, but that would be a great idea. But I don't think it'll ever happen. Even if they cut it in half, it would be immensely better. And I think that the government and the way things are run in general would be so much different if they'd cut it in half from Sacramento up. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that there's a lot of good people in Southern California. I know a few of them. What I don't know is why in the hell they're there. They don't take my advice. There are other people that listen to my radio show that have taken my advice. Quite a number of them have done exactly what I say, and how does it go? Just put your stuff in a truck and drive away. Yeah, it may be a little inconvenient. It may be a little bit of a financial hardship for a little while. I know that you have 18 years with the company. I'm guessing you may not have 2 years left to finish that. So what do? You put your stuff in a truck and drive away. Mouse did it. Concretin did it. My oldest daughter and her husband did it. There's it depends on how much gas money you need, Sparky. There's ways to do it. It can be done. If you had to spend some of your time going out and picking up aluminum cans alongside the highway, doing odd jobs and putting some money together, I'm a firm believer. And don't misunderstand me, because everybody doesn't think like me, and I'm not putting anybody down here. But it is my contention that if you want to leave bad enough, you'll leave. You'll figure out how to do it. I'm sure that I know that there's hardship. It may take you a while to do it, but at least working towards that goal is something, even if you're not able to do it. But I'm a firm believer that if there's a will, there's a way, and I think it could be done. There's 1,000 different things that I could probably make suggestions on. Some you might agree with, and some maybe not so much. But 7.62 boom. Now there's a new one. Where'd you come from? But wherever it was, I'm glad you dropped in here to the shooting bench. We're just about over for the night, but I'm glad you made it in here. And 7.62 was in Riverside. Yep, that is not a good place to be. Chuckers joined us, also a little late coming in. That's okay. We're close enough to being done. We won't make you go stand in the corner or nothing. So. 7.62. If you're not opposed to it, let us know what part of the country you're in. You don't have to be too specific if you don't want to. But let us know. I'm glad to see you in here. I don't know if it's if you're somebody that we know or what. So anyway, that's enough about California. Let's move on here. Chucker brought his pointy hat. From Kentucky. Absolutely. All right. Kentucky's a good state for gun rights up there in a surrounded by states that maybe not quite so much. But all right, let me find here's some more gun related stuff coming out of the state of Michigan. Michigan, believe it or not, is not too bad as far as a lot of their gun laws and stuff. It could be a whole lot worse. But their governor just signed, Rick Snyder, signed some stuff into law that was been backed by the NRA, several different laws here. The all of these aimed at protecting the privacy and rights, making firearms records confidential. firearms record confidentiality package had, I believe it was five bills in it. Let's see, 49, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bills. Passed in the Michigan Senate and House, overwhelming support. Under the new laws, firearms records would not be subject to requests from the Freedom of Information Act. That's awesome. And would only be available to law enforcement officials for proper investigatory purposes, as it should be. Gun owners' information should be protected. Let's see. The rest of this is just rah, rah, rah stuff for the NRA. But I'm glad that the governor has signed all that. That's cool. There's, on the other side of this thing here, I showed something. There was two of these that I saw. And I showed this to Amy, and she said, how hypocritical is that? And the one said there was a talk show host that was talking about shooting Second Amendment supporters in the forehead. So let me get this straight. Never mind. I can't get it straight. I'm not ever going to understand. I'm not ever going to understand how we have Second Amendment. So it's okay. Maybe you don't support the Second Amendment, but you want to have a gun so that you can shoot us in the head because we do believe in the Second Amendment. Okie dokie. All right. I've got that. I'll get back with you on that. I'm going to have to think about it for a little while. So here's an excerpt from another gal, from a column by a gal named Susie Madrak. And this come off of a website called crooksandliars.com. And this little excerpt says, but Pearlstein doesn't mention the big honking elephant in the room. Namely, at what point does the federal government literally go to war with its own citizens? Because we're not talking about bank robbers here. We're talking about mostly non-criminal cranks, scofflaws, and political malcontents. So what line has to be crossed in the good old U.S. of A. before we start mowing them down to make our point? Because you can't talk about Bundy Ranch without talking about Ruby Ridge and Waco. Frankly, I don't see the correlation there, but anyway. So here's the political corner into which we have painted ourselves. Do we have the ATF and BLM agents roll up in armored tanks? Do we use drone strikes? I can see the administration's reluctance to have that confrontation. After all, it's not as if gun control advocates were flooding the White House switchboard screaming, take them out. And then we do have the militia types all over the country just waiting for an excuse to start their local uprising. These anal orifices want a civil war so bad they can taste it. Anybody that wants a civil war is either a damn liar or criminally insane. I would like to see the results, the after effects of a civil war, but for the war itself, how stupid is that? 7162, that's right. Don't start any crap and there won't be any. That's right. That's exactly right. But, you know, there's one thing to want a war, and quite another not to shirk from it and be willing to participate if it should come to that. Anyway, Firewall, I'm gonna put on a short little song, and I'm gonna run up here, and I'm going to grab Amy's 738. And the video that you sent was from 2011, and I think that has been changed. But I'm gonna put on just one little short song for you guys. I'm gonna go over here and get Amy's gun. I'm gonna check something on it. And give me just a couple minutes and I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. up on whiskey toast, home fries on the side. Wash it down with the roadhouse coffee, burns up your insides. You're just a canyon dollar at a diner, and a waitress I did love. I sat in the back, neath an old stuffed bear, and a worn out Navajo rug. Now old Jack, the boss, he left at six, and it's Katie, bar the door. She pulled down that Navajo rug and spread it across the floor. Hey, I saw the lightning cross the sacred mountain, saw the woven turtle doves. But I was lying next to Katie on that old Navajo rug.
Aye, 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 Katie, she's red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, wherever you came.
Well, I saw old Jack about a year ago. He said the place burned to the ground. And all I say with this old bare tooth, Katie, she's left town. Papa Katie, she got her souvenir. Jack's mad at tobacco plug. Well, you should have seen her coming through the smoke.
All right, we're back. Now, I checked what the video showed, and it could conceivably be a problem for those that know how to shoot from reset. I have Amy and I have both shot it extensively. I've done videos with the gun, and we've never ever had an issue with that, but I can see where your concern might be for that. The Ruger, the LCP, long, awful trigger. And I would much rather have this. Now, so far, I have never experienced any problems with this 738. So since I haven't, I still would rather have it. Now that it's been pointed out, I would still rather have that than the LCP. It shoots better. Several features about it are better than the LCP. We used to call the LCP the little crappy pistol until they finally made some changes to it, and it got a little better. Actually, one of the first changes that they made was let's see, the, yeah, Chucker, go ahead. That's fine. I don't mind. But you know, you have to decide what you want to do there, Firewall. I see your concern for that, and I know that you know how to shoot from reset. But we've never experienced a problem with that. The reset that you feel, or the, well, it's actually not a reset, but what you feel, that little click, doesn't really feel much like the regular reset does. It is audible. You can hear it, you can feel it, and it could conceivably be a problem. Let's see, 007, yeah, I don't know if I'd go quite so far as to say I like the LC9, but it's not a bad little gun. It's I don't like it near as well as the Glock, but I don't think I would mind terribly having one. Firewall, I didn't think it would take Pierce long to make pinky extensions for the 738. I'm glad they do. And that was one of the things that I really liked the Ruger over the Taurus, because that it comes with two of those in the box. But I took a, believe it or not, as silly as this may sound, and I still have it, I can show it to you. I took a Glock fingertip extension and whittled and carved and got it all down to where it worked perfectly on that 738, and I've still got it. I kept that one magazine so that if anything ever happened, that I might. I had three of those 738s, and every damn time that I would get one, somebody would come along and I'd talk about it, and somebody would want one. And I'd wind up selling them mine. And then I'd get another one, and I'd carry it, and then somebody come on. I wound up selling three of them, and I finally said, to hell with it, I'm not going to get any more, another one. If I want somebody wants one, I'll just order it for them. So, anyway, that's what happened. Just saw my sisters up in Alaska. I have to find out what's going on up there. Okay, well, it's getting about that time, and I'm sorry that you guys come in, Mouse. I'm sorry you had a little trouble with your sound there. First thing you always want to check, you know, sometimes it may be my fault, but the first thing you always want to check if you have sound problems, refresh your browser and see if that will fix it for you. And more often than not, that'll do it. But the thing is that if you're experiencing that trouble and nobody else is, then it's probably not my fault. It's something that you'll need to take care of on your end. So, Chucker and 7.62, I'm glad you guys came in. You got here awful late, but nevertheless, we're grateful that you spent a little time with us. And for all the rest of you, Republic Defender, you're getting to be kind of a regular now. We're glad to see that. Firewall and Cowboy and shoot, boy, I tell you what, my memory tonight is awful. I couldn't remember Cotton Pick and Forrest Gump and everything else, but well, it looks like he's gone now anyway, so I can't remember. Anyhow, I regret that we were not able to do our deal up there for Independence Day. I hope that you'll come up. By the way, there's an FTX going on up here. If you have a notion that you'd like to come up, then let us know and we'll do that. BB Burner, I don't know if you're still in there or not, but no, I will not be making it to the FTX, this one anyway. Firewall, that's a great price. That's an awesome price. That's an unbelievable price for a, if you're talking about the 738, that is absolutely astounding. So, anyway. Alright, looks like we've lost sound. I don't know what's going on. Looks like it's coming back there. Looks like it's come back just long enough for me to sign out. So I'm going to get out of here, and we will see you all again in the morning. Don't miss Amy's show at 8 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time. And then we'll be on with our all-gun-related show tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Pacific. I appreciate you all joining me, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.